What so many people don't realize is that the new covenant hasn't started yet. This is why I don't like to call the Greek scriptures the New Testament. Testament is an alternate word for covenant because it sounds like it's here. You read the Old Covenant or you read the Old Testament and then the New Testament starting with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. This is bad practice on several levels. Well, two main levels. The first level is that when you call the Greek scriptures the New Testament, you get the idea that it's starting in Matthew. The New Testament or the New Covenant is actually starting in Matthew. I'll just prove that with one verse. Matthew describes as an account of the coming of Jesus Christ. What did Jesus Christ come to do? Paul puts it very plainly, Romans 15:8, for I am saying that Christ, listen to this, this is very plain. You never hear this verse except here on this show. Christ has become the servant of the circumcision for the sake of the truth of God to confirm the patriarchal promises, to confirm them, not to fulfill them, not to enact them, not to inaugurate them. He came as the vehicle that Israel, casting their hopes and aspirations upon him, he will take them to the promised land, which for them is the thousand-year kingdom, the fabled millennium. But what was not known at the time is that there would be a secret administration where God would call people from among the nations to call it a new body. But this would not happen until Israel was cast aside. Israel's cast aside because she rejected her Messiah. All this is in the perfect timing of God. But it was a secret administration because it was not prophesied of by the prophets. No prophet saw that Christ's, the Messiah's coming on earth would be, quote, unsuccessful, unquote, success being measured by their desires to have a political kingdom, but that Jesus Christ would confirm the promises, but that the kingdom would be rejected by Israel, which it was several times, and then God would, quote, take advantage of that. Of course, he's orchestrating the whole thing. That now that Israel is set aside, he would do a new thing among the nations. And then Romans 11:25, when the complement of the nations has entered, then God would come back to Israel and fulfill the promises. This is the difference between the 69 sevens and in the last period of 7 years, the 70th seven. There is a gap. People make fun of that. They say, oh, these people say there's a gap. Well, there is a gap. When Jesus Christ took the scroll in Nazareth, he read from Isaiah and he proclaimed himself to be fulfilling that word of Isaiah, but he stops in the middle of a sentence. He reads about proclaiming the favorable year of the Lord, announcing freedom to the captives and a pardon and all these positive things. And the very next part of the sentence was, and the day of judgment of our God, the day of judgment. There's a comma in Isaiah, in the scroll of Isaiah, there's a comma, announce the favorable year of the Lord, free the captives, comma, and the judgment of God. But Jesus Christ stops in the middle of that sentence, in the middle of that, right at the comma, and he doesn't even stop, complete the sentence. Rolls up the scroll, hands it back to the deputy. Why does he do that? Because he knows that there's at least a 2,000-year gap between him announcing it, him coming as the Messiah, him proclaiming pardon and proclaiming liberty, proclaiming the favorable year of the Lord. There's at least 2,000 years between that and the judgment on the nation Israel that's going to bring them by severe trial into the fabled millennium. But we're still in that 2,000-year period. I'm going to tell you today what Israel is supposed to do after I confirm for you that the new covenant is future. The new Testament has not happened yet. The second reason why it's not a good idea to call the Greek scriptures the New Testament is because you eliminate Paul. You blur the lines between the circumcision writers and Paul. You make Paul, since Paul's writing is in the so-called New Testament, then Paul must be part of the New Testament slash covenant, but he's not. So who calls this the New Testament? This is not the New Testament. Matthew through Revelation is not the New Testament. It's not the New Covenant. It's the Greek scriptures. It's the part of God's word that was written in Greek. The other part was written in Hebrew, with a little bit of Aramaic thrown in for good measure in the book of Daniel. So, Jesus Christ announces it. He knows that it's going to be interrupted by divine order, by divine timing, to make room for the secret administration. Paul calls it the administration of the secret. In Romans 11:25, he uses that word secret again. I tell you this secret, this is the secret of the length of the blindness of Israel. This will be a real help to any preterists or people who think that there's no millennium or that Israel's done, whether they're preterists or Calvinists. This is a real helpful verse, Romans 11:25. The secret of the timing of Israel's blindness, that they'll be blind until. So let's go back to Hebrews chapter, I want to go back to chapter 8. Tomorrow I'm going to do something different, okay? I'm going to change the channel tomorrow, but it's not tomorrow, is it? No, it's today. And today I'm going to tell you, I'm going to share with you what Paul says an Israelite is supposed to do in the days when they can't do the Ten Commandments. They're not even supposed to attempt the law or the Ten Commandments. It's all the same. But first, I want to hammer home something I've been talking about in verse 18 of chapter 7. For indeed, there is coming to be a repudiation of the preceding precept, because it's weak and without benefit. For the law perfects nothing, yet it is the superinduction of a better expectation. And even when Paul is writing Hebrews, which is at a later date than the accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, I believe, he's still calling it an expectation. And when he writes Romans, he's still saying that it's future. Do I have to remind you of Romans again? I'll be happy to. I'm not willing for you to be ignorant of this secret, lest you be passing for prudent among yourselves, that callousness in part on Israel has come until the complement of the nations may be entering. That hasn't happened yet. The complement of the nations entering is the fullness of everyone God is going to call out to be in the body of Christ. And thus all Israel shall be saved. When? When that complement comes in. It's still future. The new covenant hasn't happened yet. The New Testament hasn't happened yet. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is not the New Covenant. It's the Greek scriptures. These are four accounts of the life of Jesus Christ coming as the Messiah of Israel, who was destined to be rejected by the builders. The cornerstone that's rejected by the builders. And because of that rejection, God launches, with Israel out of the way and with his Jew suit shed, Jesus Christ now is free to lavish the nations with grace, transcendent grace, with no baptism, no law, no circumcision. Yeah, isn't it glorious? Yeah, and so few people enter into it. Hebrews chapter 8. Now, this is the sum of what is being said. Such a chief priest have we, who is seated at the right throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the holy places and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitches and not a human. Oh, the true tabernacle. This is interesting. The Lord pitches it and not a human. What happened when Jesus was crucified? The veil of the temple rent, and that was the last human tabernacle, until there's going to be a false one built at the end of this eon. But the true tabernacle is one that the Lord pitches and not a human. So any tabernacle pitched by a human from the time Paul wrote Hebrews, or for the time the veil was rent, from that time to this, it's a false tabernacle. And anyone claiming to be doing the law or even attempting the Ten Commandments, it's false. It's a work of the flesh, doomed to failure. And yet this is promoted. The Ten Commandments are hung on church, in church buildings, on law buildings, in courtrooms. It's all out of timing. It's all false. It does more harm than good. It's out of alignment with God's program. For every chief priest is constituted to offer both approach, presence, and sacrifice, whence it is necessary for this one also to have something which he may offer. Indeed, then, if he were on earth, he would not even be a priest. This is what I was telling you. When he was on earth, he was not a priest because he was of Judah. That's what necessitates the change of priesthood. There being those who offer approach, presence according to the law, who by an example and shadow are offering the divine service of the celestials, according as Moses has been apprised when about to be completing the tabernacle. This all to say that the tabernacle on the earth is a model of a tabernacle in the heavens. This is a deep topic, that there is celestial, there is divine service of some kind among the celestials, and that what I've told you this many times, what happens on earth is a reflection of what happens in the heavens. Let's skip down to verse 6. Yet now he has happened upon a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is the mediator also of a better covenant. A better covenant, which has been instituted on better promises. For if that first one were unblameable, no place would have been sought for a second. It has been declared. It has been promised, but it has not come yet, even though it rests on better promises. And Paul, listen to what he's quoting. Lo, the days are coming, the Lord is saying, and I shall be concluding with the house of Israel. But he hasn't done it yet. These are all future terms. Days are coming, I shall be concluding with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah a new covenant, not in accord with the covenant which I make with their fathers in the day of my taking hold of their hand to be leading them out of the land of Egypt. This was all primitive. It was all part of the minority of Israel. It was juvenile. He's holding their hand, taking them through the wilderness, trying to teach them things, and they reject him all through the scriptures. They will not put up with God's prophets or with the very Son of God himself. And he's blaming them, saying this. And I neglect them, the Lord is saying. Oh, listen to this. To be leading them out of the land of Egypt, seeing that they do not remain in my covenant. And they were not designed to remain in the covenant. And I neglect them, the Lord is saying. Okay, right there. The ninth verse of Hebrews 8. I neglect them. Paul is saying the very same thing in Romans 11. It is the 2,000-year neglect of Israel. This is relative neglect, not absolute neglect. Israel is being neglected, he says, and I neglect them, the Lord is saying. I neglect them. That's happening now. And anybody who wants to be an Israelite, any Christians who want to be Israelites, they're entering an arena, they're entering a sphere where God is neglecting them. And anything they put up is just that, something they put up. They have to construct artificially props, Hollywood walls, plywood structures that seem to tell people that God is with us, God is with us. No, he's not with you. If you're in the Israel world, you're being neglected right now because this is the era of the nations. And this era of the nations isn't going to end until the last member of the body of Christ comes in. So anybody who wants to be an Israelite today is under under God's neglect, not absolute neglect, but relative neglect. And any temples they build, any Ten Commandments they put on the wall, any crazy notion they get in their heads that they're actually being Israelites and they're doing the Israelite thing, it's all plywood. It's all artificial. It's all just a shanty town. It's not real. It's their own imaginations. But the thing is they're actually building structures that, like, this is Israelitish. No, it might be Israelitish, but it's not what God is doing with Israel. the next verse, verse 10, for this is the covenant which I shall be, all future. The new covenant has not come yet. This is the covenant which I shall be covenanting with the house of Israel after those days, the Lord is saying, imparting my laws to their comprehension. On their hearts shall I be inscribing them. I shall be to them for a God. They shall be to me for a people. And by no means should each be teaching his fellow citizen. This is what's going to happen when the new covenant actually does start. For one thing, his law is going to be on their hearts. It's not going to be everybody teaching their neighbor. And this is what they're doing today. The Christians are trying to inspire people to obey the Ten Commandments, obey the Ten Commandments. And they think this is the new covenant. But by telling people to obey the Ten Commandments, they're unconsciously announcing the fact that the new covenant hasn't come. Because when the new covenant does come, nobody will have to teach his fellow citizen. That's what it says. They shall be to me for a people, and by no means should each be teaching his fellow citizen and each his brother, saying, know the Lord. That's what they're saying today. And it's proof that the new covenant hasn't started. Yet they think it's proof that it has started. It's totally 180 degrees out of phase. For all shall be acquainted with me, from their little to their great. Tell me when that happened. And are you going to... is anybody out there going to try to make the case to me that it's happening now? All know me? All are acquainted with me, from their little to their great? For I shall be propitious to their injustices, and of their sins and their lawlessnesses should I under no circumstances still be reminded. Paul's evangel, I'll remind you, completely skips this entire clusterfuck. It just skips over Israel. It doesn't wait for Israel to learn the lesson. It doesn't wait for Israel to put up their little Shiloh shanty towns, or trying to build the New Jerusalem, trying to make their church look like the New Jerusalem, or look like some kind of Israel outpost. No, we just skip all over that. We don't bother with it. I'm only explaining it now to try to help people who are still grasping on to Israelite things, thinking that God is working with Israel today. So what is an Israelite supposed to do today? I thought I was going to have time. Well, I'll throw it in at the end here. I'm going to finish chapter 8, though. In saying new, verse 13, last verse of Hebrews chapter 8, in saying new, he has made the former old. Self-evident. Now that which is growing old and decrepit is near its disappearance. It's near its disappearance. But it's not, it has not disappeared yet, because stubborn Israelites and misguided, zeal without knowledge Christians are holding on to it for dear life. This thing's trying to pass away. Look at it this way. This thing's trying to go away. That which is growing old and decrepit is near its disappearance. It's going to disappear completely. The old is. And really, that's what the tribulation is. The tribulation is smashing, demolishing any old reference to the old. Any reference to the old, any of these ramshackle pseudo-temple things, cedar suppers, whatever kind of thing you like to do to think you're an Israelite. Observe the Passover. Oy, oy vey. How, what are you doing? Oy vey. You might as well crucify the Messiah again. You don't even recognize your Messiah. And you're having the Passover? You're eating the Passover and you missed the memo that Jesus already came? What the hell are you doing? And if you're a Christian, what are you doing? Seriously, you're memorializing something that's decrepit and passing away. Jesus said at the actual last legitimate Passover that he would not drink of the fruit of the vine again. He will not booze it up with his disciples until he drank the wine of the new covenant. And that hasn't happened yet, because he hasn't come back yet. Now, in the closing couple minutes of this show, I will tell you, I will just give an overview, an aerial view of the rest of this great book of Hebrews, which appears in the Greek scriptures. This is what I'd like to hear people calling it from now on. It's not the Old Testament and the New Testament. It's the Hebrew scriptures and the Greek scriptures. Hebrews is part of the Greek scriptures, written to Hebrews, though. That's a dead giveaway at the beginning of this thing. Hebrews chapter 1, it says, lo and behold, three words. And they're inspired to the Hebrews. I'm a guy sitting in my car in an alley in Fort Lauderdale. And I understand this stuff. Just to the Hebrews. These are people, Jewish people, to whom the kingdom is promised. So the problem of the Hebrews that Paul is addressing here is that John the Baptist said, nears the kingdom of the heavens, of the heavens, of the heavens. It's heavenly in character, but its location is on the earth. Jesus said, the kingdom is near. What happened to the kingdom? It didn't come. Because of that gap, because of the comma in Isaiah, because of the 70 sevens spoken of by Daniel in chapter 9 that are appointed to Israel to finish the transgression and to bring righteousness to Israel. The reason that was split up with 62 sevens and then another seven sevens making 69 sevens and then one final seven. The reason that the 69 was segregated from the last period of 7 years is to accommodate this unprophesied period of time that we're now living in. Okay, for you and me who are in the body of Christ, we have the antenna for Paul. As soon as that broadcast went out, we got it. Our antenna started vibrating, going crazy, and we got a clear signal, here it comes. We get it. 98.5 FM, that's what Paul's gospel's broadcasting on. The circumcision's broadcasting at 89.3 AM, okay? Different frequency, different spectrum. Got AM, FM. There's no problem with us. We read about this, and we learn about it, and we know about it, and we can speak intelligently on it, and we can help Israelites, because we know both evangels just like Paul did. We can help Israelites understand where they are on the Aeonian map. We're just flying with our own gospel. Paul's 13 letters are for us. We hop, skip, and jump over Israel. We have justification. We have conciliation. Everything Israel is trying to get in the millennium and on the new earth, we start with. This is a good point, and I don't mind making it. Everything Israel's shooting for, everything God promised Israel that they will have, not only during the millennium, but on the new heavens and the new earth during Aeon 5, we have now. That's why Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10, 11, the consummations of the eons have attained to us. Meaning that everything the eons will produce, all the fruit of the Aeonian times that won't come for Israel because they're going slogging through it step by step by step by step. We have it now. This whole freight, all these, the booty, the best of the Aeonian booty has come on us. We have things that Israel won't get till the end of the new heavens and the new earth. We have peace with God. We're justified. We're not just forgiven, we're justified. And we have a great understanding. We have an aerial view of the ants. We're smarter than hell in this. I mean, God has given us this as a gift. But poor Israel, what is she to do? This book is written that they're supposed to wait. If you look at chapter 11, it's all about the heroes of faith. Why is Paul setting forth the heroes of faith to the Hebrews? Is because these died having not received the promise. That's the major point. Right? That's the big point. That's the theme. These all died having not received the promises. And you Hebrews are going to die having not received the promises. This is where the famous verse comes in, Hebrews 10:25. Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Church people have taken this verse, they've hijacked it, pulled it out of context, and they use this to prove to you that you're supposed to go to church. The church people say this. Oh, you're supposed to go to church. Why? Oh, Hebrews 11:25. Right. That's completely wrong. No. No. That's for the Hebrews because they could easily give up when they saw their kingdom taken away from them. They could have easily given up and say, just thrown in the towel. But Paul says, no, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. You can look at this one of two ways. The assembling could either be their literal getting together to hold fast to the promises. That's another thing Paul says here. Hold fast to the promises. And he uses, again, Moses as an example, who looked at the promised land far off from Mount Nebo there, but the guy died and he didn't go into the promised land. That's your lot. That's what's going to happen. In the meantime, don't give up the promises. Stay true to the promises. You can't do the law today without a temple, but you can do good works, do good acts. This is what Paul says in the same context of Hebrews chapter 10. Incite one another to ideal acts, and don't forsake assembling yourselves together. We have great, the Hebrews, you guys have great promises ahead. It's a better covenant. It's coming from above now instead of, it's coming from the top up instead of from, it's coming from the top down instead of from the down to the top. The old covenant was trying to inspire the down people, the people on the earth, to attain to heaven. That was a demonstration. But the truth is that Paul says that this calling is going to come from above down to you. That's the difference. You don't have to attain to it. It's coming down to you. And you have to wait for it, because it's not going to be, you're not going to be able to miss it. It's not going to be a good Israelite here and a good Israelite there, as I like to say. It's going to be God giving Israel, writing his law on their hearts, giving them a heart of flesh instead of a heart of stone, and teaching the nations. Nobody will have to say, here it is, there it is, because it'll be so obvious, it's going to be everywhere. No one will have to teach his brother or his sister anymore, saying, know the Lord, for they will all know me from the least to the greatest. I saw the news the other day, and that hasn't happened yet.